Well, you know, Brendan, if you like hearing about tricky quantum optics experiments that test the foundations of our understanding about reality...
And who doesn't?
Then you'll love our first item about a quantum optics team based at the University of Toronto that has put Werner Heisenberg's own explanation for his uncertainty principle to the test and has found it wanting. Tell me, what do you know about Heisenberg's uncertainty principle?
I know that it's one of the first rules of quantum mechanics that physicists learn about, which tells us that you can't know everything about a quantum particle at one time. So you can't know both where an electron is and where it's going at the same time. The more accurately you know its position, for instance, the fuzzier is your knowledge of its momentum.
When Heisenberg proposed it almost a century ago, he also offered a very simple picture, or thought experiment, to help people understand why this strange idea is true. Imagine, he said, if you try and pinpoint exactly where an electron is. To see where it is, you must fire photons, or particles of light, at it. But bashing the tiny electron with a photon disturbs its motion, changing its momentum from what it would have been had you not looked. So you cannot know where the electron would have been heading before you made the measurement.
Heisenberg's microscope example. That's a nice explanation.
Yes, it's a very helpful picture, but I hope you're not too attached to it, because quantum physicist Lee Rosimer at the University of Toronto and his colleagues recently performed a test to see just how much the act of measuring an object actually disturbs its state. And they found, that it doesn't disturb it as much as you might expect from Heisenberg's uncertainty principle.
No, you're taking away all that's sacred to me from my quantum physics education.
I'm sorry, I'm afraid I am. Rosimer kindly chatted to me about the experiment, details of which are published in Physical Review Letters, and told me why he suspected that Heisenberg's microscope paints a picture that's a little too pessimistic.
So that explanation of the uncertainty principle is kind of the way Heisenberg himself motivated the uncertainty principle. And it's the idea kind of encapsulated in Heisenberg's microscope. So if you have some electron and you want to know its position, you have to measure it. And measurement is a physical process. So to measure the position of the electron, you have to interact with it in some way. So Heisenberg imagined what would happen if you tried to measure where the electron is by essentially shining photons or particles of light on the electron. And what he showed is that whenever the photons interacted with the electron, they would disturb it in some way. And the more precisely you measured the position of the electrons, the more you would disturb the momentum of the electrons.
So that's basically this idea that we keep hearing, that the reason you can't measure the position and momentum of something at the same time is that when you try and measure the position accurately, you fire photons at it and you kind of nudge it and that knocks its momentum.
Yeah, that's right.
So now, why were you interested in looking at that more closely? Why didn't you just sort of take it at face value and say, okay, that sounds good?
Well, I guess it's been known for a little bit that this isn't really rigorously true. It's been known for a while. And so in 2003, Professor Ozawa actually derived a different relationship that he said this precision and disturbance relationship should follow. And the interesting thing about that relationship is that if you kind of naively apply the Heisenberg uncertainty principle to measurements, meaning that the product of the precision and the disturbance has to be greater than some value, you actually overestimate using Heisenberg's uncertainty principle. So you can actually measure precisions and disturbances which fall below the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, and Ozawa derived this new value. And then a little later in, I think about 2010, London Wiseman came up with this proposal how you could actually measure the disturbance that a measurement apparatus creates. And they used some concept that our lab has worked on in the past, namely weak measurements. So we kind of thought we might actually be able to measure this disturbance, which kind of seemed very tricky to do in the past. So it just seemed like a good opportunity for us to investigate kind of a interesting fundamental question.
So you've actually carried out this experiment in the lab now, but you didn't look at position and momentum, did you? You looked at two other quantities that also should obey this kind of Heisenberg uncertainty principle. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. So we looked at different polarization components of a photon. So the polarization of light or of a photon is just the direction in which its electric field oscillates. And you can measure that polarization component along different directions. So you can measure how much it kind of, very roughly speaking, how much it's oscillating along, say, the z-axis and how much it's oscillating along the x-axis. And there's a Heisenberg uncertainty principle which applies to these variables as well.
Right, so you assume that you can't know both of these two with precise accuracy at the same time.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay, and so how did you carry out the measurement in the lab? Was it very difficult?
So the basic idea is to measure some disturbance to a quantum system. You need to know the value of the thing you're interested in disturbing. So you have some variable, and you want to know how much a measurement of that variable disturbs it. And so to do this, you would ideally measure the value before your measurement apparatus you wish to characterize, and then measure that value again afterwards. And the problem with that is your first measurement to check what the value originally was is already going to disturb your system. So then you can't really separate out whether it was your kind of check measurement or the actual measurement apparatus you were characterizing, which introduced the disturbance. So this is where the idea of weak measurements comes in.
Can you explain to me what the difference is between a strong measurement and a weak measurement?
Yeah. So again, any measurement in the lab, we really have to implement by an interaction between the quantum system or whatever system we're interested in measuring and some other system. I'll call it our pointer system. So the idea is we have a quantum system, we let it interact for a little bit with a pointer system, and then we make measurements on a pointer system. And kind of any normal measurement can be modeled in this way. So if the interaction is strong, then it can obviously disturb that quantum system. The idea of a weak measurement is that we make that interaction very weak. So now the pointer doesn't interact very strongly with the quantum system. The problem with this is that the pointer also doesn't get very much information out about the quantum system. So on a single shot, you might not be able to tell if that pointer really moved at all. So we have to repeat this experiment many times and kind of use some statistics to see where the pointer actually lands on average. And this is what we take as the weak measurement value.
Okay, I see. So a strong measurement can be quite accurate and it can tell you exactly what value something has, but in that case, it can disturb it quite a lot.
Yeah.
By contrast, if you do a weak measurement, you're only looking sort of at something very, very gently.
Yeah.
And so you're trying to take a little bit of information about the state of the system, but that's not going to be very accurate because it's such a weak measurement. So you keep doing it again and again and again and again, each time only interfering with it very slightly. And then you kind of take an average of the measurements that you got to kind of give you an estimate of the value to be measured.
Yeah, that's right. So the idea we want to implement, ideally, you want to first weakly measure your system, then send it to your measuring device, the thing that you want to know if it disturbed your system or not. And then after your measuring device, you can do a normal measurement on the system. But the problem with doing these kind of quantum interactions, at least with photons, is that it's rather tricky to put two measurements in a row using conventional methods. So what we did was we took two photons and entangled them so that the state of the first photon kind of tells you about the state of the second photon.
So just to sort of clarify then, so the trick about entanglement is that that means that these two photons kind of become twinned, so that you would expect that if you make a measurement on one, you would get a certain answer, and if you make the same measurement on its partner, you'd get the same answer. So in that sense, they're very helpful in that way because they're kind of identical in the answers they give to questions.
Yeah. And then we measured the first photon weakly, so we sent it to our weak measuring device. And then after that weak measurement, we teleported the state after the weak measurement onto photon 2, and then sent photon 2 to the measuring device that we were interested in characterizing.
And then teleportation, what does that do? What do you achieve by teleporting the second photon? You sort of move its information about its state from one place to another place?
Yeah, so after our first measurement, the weak measurement, the state is disturbed a little bit. And we need, to be fair, we need to really send that disturbed state into our measurement apparatus. So this teleportation trick is just kind of to get all of that information, the state that really comes out of the first weak measurement, and send that state into the second measurement.
And just remind me again, why don't you just use one photon?
So the usual way we interact a particle with a pointer is to use a quantum logic gate. And the regular quantum logic gates that people use for photons are hard to make, and they're even harder to put one after the other. There's quite often cases where cascading these two quantum logic gates or these two quantum interactions can mess you up and give you the wrong answer without you being able to know that you got the wrong answer. So we had to use entanglements so that we were able to do the two measurements in a row on different particles so that we could still get the right answer, kind of.
Oh, right. Okay. So in theory, you would do it with just the one photon, but it's sort of a difficulty in terms of actually setting up the apparatus. So you use this trick,
which
allows you to kind of use twinned particles sort of in tandem rather than one, because using one, it could kind of go wrong along the way.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, you know, what did you find?
So what we found was that the disturbance that we observed was less than that was, which was predicted by the Heisenberg uncertainty principle, if we naively apply it to measurements.
So you've been very careful to say that you got a different value than would have been predicted by Heisenberg's uncertainty principle if you think about the principle in a naive way. So, you know, what does this mean? We're not saying that Heisenberg's uncertainty principle is wrong, but I guess we have to be more careful about exactly how we state it.
Yeah, so the Heisenberg uncertainty principle in itself is correct. It just doesn't apply to measurements. There's just a different principle which applies to measurement, this relationship which was derived by Professor Ozawa. So the Heisenberg uncertainty principle in itself just talks about kind of intrinsic uncertainty in quantum states. So it just tells you if I have a quantum state and I prepare it with a certain distribution in one variable. So I know I've prepared it with its, say, position defined to within a certain extent, there has to be a corresponding larger uncertainty in this particle's momentum. And it doesn't talk about what would happen if you were to try to measure those positions and momentums.
Thank you to Lee Rosema for explaining his experiment to Zia. So Heisenberg's uncertainty principle does not apply to measurements. My illusions are shattered. But Heisenberg's principle does still stand and describes the intrinsic properties of quantum particles.
You can read more about the debates over quantum uncertainty and the role of measurement in our articles and blog posts. For links, visit our podcast page, www.fqxi.org/community/podcast.